Good morning. Greetings in Christ's name this morning. Been blessed by being here. Appreciated Brian's thoughts on the foundation. He said he's not quite sure if the foundation part is the most important or not. I would tend to say that it probably is. They put in the foundation, and when Carl and Brent take their crew in there to frame, if that foundation isn't right, then it'll affect them, it'll affect that building process all the way through. How you start sets the course many, many times. Again, not that things can't be changed, but it certainly very much sets the course. So, just an added thought, I guess, to that. And what we want to talk this morning about, I believe, has very much to do with foundation, setting a foundation. As everyone or most here know, that I've been sharing a series on the Christian home, and I want to continue doing that this morning. We'll be shifting gears a bit from what we have been looking at the last number of times, and I'll be speaking primarily to the youth this morning. Our thoughts will be directed to you, and again, the foundation is very, very important. This morning I'd like to share on preparation for Christian courtship. Preparation for Christian courtship. Again, very foundational. Desire your prayers too this morning. Last several days I've been fighting a pretty aggressive sore throat and wasn't sure how it was going to go this morning, but you can pray that things will go well. My voice will be able to hold out. So in Christian courtship, I probably will be sharing two messages on this subject. This morning, the focus is more on leading up to courtship, as I already said, being prepared for that. And the second message will be more on courtship itself. Thinking about courtship, you don't find this word courtship in the Bible, but it is an important subject. By specifying Christian courtship, we imply that there is a courtship that is not that, that is not Christian. In fact, there is far too much of it. Sometimes when we think of courtship that is not Christian, we think of it as, you know, it's out there. But this morning there's a lot of courtship in conservative churches, I will even say, that is also not Christian. I believe that we as parents have a tremendous responsibility in teaching and addressing this subject. And here's where you come in at this morning in listening to this. Hope it can give some encouragement in that. Every parent and every church that is concerned about the purity of its young people will take seriously the responsibility of addressing this subject. There is a lot of material available that offers much in the way of godly counsel and advice on this subject of Christian courtship. But to you as young people, I just want to say that I believe that this is an area where guidance from parents and other faithful individuals is extremely important and just very much near the top of the list of importance. Seeking counsel, guidance. Again, parents, first of all, in most situations in our in our setting. But individuals who have gone through it already, something to think about the importance of. So first of all, what is Christian courtship? It has been defined this way. Christian courtship is a sanctified friendship exercised in godly fear for the purpose of discerning God's will for their lives. It far transcends the haphazard lottery of random dating. It is religious. It is sacredly serious, not merely social. This morning, for courtship to be Christian, both participants must be fully committed Christians. And we'll think a little bit more about that. That's kind of somewhat the focus here. It is not just enough to be raised in a Christian home. That won't necessarily, in and of itself, produce Christian courtship. It is not enough to promise to someday, well, someday I will become a Christian. That's not enough. Merely being a church member is probably not, well, I don't think we'd necessarily need to put probably in there, but it is not any better. But priority number one is total commitment to Christ. Total commitment to Christ and His church. True Christian courtship is a sacred interest between two God-fearing and God-loving Christians, earnestly and sincerely seeking to know and to follow. Notice I said to know and to follow God's plan for their lives. The purpose of keeping each other's company is not merely for entertainment. It is not entertainment, but observation, a time of observation. It is a means of obtaining, hopefully, a thorough understanding of each other's characteristics, what that person is made up of, what drives that person, where is their heart. It's a testing of the feasibility of blending two separate personalities into one blessed, harmonious union. And we know that. We all have different personalities. And that's okay. That's the way God made us. There's blessing in that. And so a Christian courtship is a time of looking at the feasibility of blending those two personalities into one union. God, the author of marriage, has created us as social beings. He has done that. And that's good. We like that. But He's created us as social beings that need each other. We need one another. And so how natural, how legitimate, how reasonable it is then that young men and women of, I would say, acceptable age and character should be deeply interested in finding that special one whom the Lord has prepared to be their companion for life. Christian courtship is hallowed ground. It really is. And I think sometimes we can tend to forget that, how serious it is. Tread softly in that, for God is there. It's a part of God's, well, it's God's plan. No, God does not have marriage in mind for every person. We understand that. We know that. We even see that in Scripture. But I think we all agree that, by and large, that is what God has for mankind. No one is more interested in your social affairs than God Himself. No one is more interested in that than God himself. God, who knows the final outcome of everything from its very beginning, I believe he's just there and he's yearning to bless you. He's yearning to bless you far beyond your fondest anticipation. He is. He's interested in that. But before he can give us, before he can give you before he can give you the most or the utmost of a blessed marriage and a happy home life, he must have the highest degree of devotion from your life, from your heart, one that's yielded completely to him. And I can't stress enough the importance of that. We see many marriages, I don't need to say this, but we see many marriages about us today that are broken, falling apart. I firmly believe that because in those situations somewhere, God has not been yielded to enough. There's not been the relationship with God that it should be. You're at a serious point in your life. The choices you make today will have far-reaching consequences in your own life. And not only in your own life, but in the lives of others and even on down through future generations. I believe the poet illustrates the significance of today's choices well when he says this: "Your life lies before you like a path of driven snow. Be careful how you tread it, for every step will show." Obviously, if you want your path to lead to a right end, you must be sure that your first steps set you in the right course. The foundation is laid to further build upon and be what God wants you to be. If you take the wrong steps, yes, we can get out that concrete grinder, we can get out that concrete cutter, whatever it is, and we may be able to change course. But in a lot of ways, I believe those footprints, those change of course, the effects will still remain there in a certain sense. So, preparation for Christian courtship: make sure that you're ready for marriage and its responsibilities before you contemplate courtship. Now, bear with me, I'll explain that here a little bit more. I'll clarify that in a little bit here, what I mean by that. But remember, there is a definite purpose and goal in courtship. It is to be purposeful in seeking a life's companion. That is the purpose. That is the goal. Probably none of us ever really feel adequate and ready for this awesome task of marriage and raising a family. And yet, no young person, I believe, should undertake this without considering themselves mature enough to take that step. The first step, and what I mean by that is, and in reference to some things that I already said here, but the first step is not in trying to find the right person for a marriage companion, but rather in being the right person. That is the most important step, is simply being the right person yourself. That's what I mean by about being ready, being that person, the right person. You will always have to live with yourself, whether you are married or not. You know, it's so easy for young people. I know how it is. I know how it was when I was there. It doesn't seem that long ago. But to spend a lot of time contemplating and wondering and almost taken up with it. You know what I mean, young people? It's easy to get to that point where who is the right one for me? Who is it? What does God have for me? Is this the one? Is that the one? And I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm not saying that's all wrong. But we need to, some of that is normal. We think about those things. Of course, we wonder those things. But the emphasis should be and must be being the right one yourself. Beginning, first of all, there. Am I the right one? Am I where I need to be? Have I laid a foundation in my life that makes me the right one for someone, for the person, that God has for us? Well, obviously, if God has it for us, we're the right one. But am I the right one? Have I lived my life? Is my life in such a way that I am the right one? If you are convinced that finding a companion is the only answer to making you happy, guess what? You are in for a surprise. You're in for a big surprise. I believe that it is the will of God for, as I already said, for most people to be married, to experience the blessedness of marriage. But that is not the ultimate. It is not. And it's easy. I admit, there was a time in my life that I think I probably felt that way. I was a little older when I got married, and it was easy to be to it was easy to think that this is the ultimate. That is what it would take to make me happy. But that is not right. The ultimate is a proper personal relationship with God. That is what's going to bring you peace. That's what's going to bring you satisfaction. And the peace and satisfaction that you will need. Finally, who will you serve? Who are you serving? That's the issue that needs to be settled first. The most important preparation for courtship and marriage is to be a child of God. The point in life or the age when most individuals begin courtship is an interesting time. It's a time when you're still growing, when you're still learning. It's also a time when you face intense desires and attractions of the flesh like you've never had before, like you never have before. And that's why this subject is so important. As you reach the age when courtship becomes something you think about, you need to remember that you are facing within you desires that you've never really had before. And as a child of God, you need to recognize those fleshly desires and impulses to help to overcome them. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm going to ask probably several of you maybe to read some verses for me to kind of help with my voice here. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Sean, would you want to read verses 4 through 6, please? Okay, thank you. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The unsaved person does not have the weapons he needs to fight the enemy, nor the spiritual armor to protect him from the fiery darts of the wicked one. The unsaved person, an ungodly person, does not have that. And that's why That's why settling this issue of who you will serve will help prepare you for the things you will face. That's why it's so important. Courtship is a serious step, and you will need God's help. Psalm 27, Brent. Psalm 27, verse 33. Go ahead. Verse 33, Psalm 27, 33. Okay. That's true, it don't. Okay, I must have the wrong reference here. It's the verse where it says something about the steps of what I was wanting here, the steps of a good man are ordered. How does it say that? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And something about delighting in that. What I wanted there was, again, God ordering us following God's will, following God's direction. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Now I'd like to look at the book of Proverbs and think about discerning God's will in courtship. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 3. These are words to live by. Before, during, and after courtship. Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 7. Brent, maybe you want to read those verses. Okay. There's a couple of things here in these verses. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And the thing that I want to get here is that so often in the prime of youth, you know, we tend to think, or it's easy for us to think that we have the answers. We know how to do this. There's something about it. That is so often the case. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. You know, some young people, not just young people, think they have all the answers, but really, they haven't even heard all the questions yet. It seems like that can be the case. Well, it says here, be not wise in thine own eyes. You cannot trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean unto thine own understanding unless you have that personal relationship with Christ before you begin courtship, what we're talking about here this morning. You simply cannot properly discern God's will for your life on your own. You cannot. He will not write his will on the wall. And he will seldom show his will in a dream. I've heard of situations already where a young man felt like God was directly telling him, and what he was basing that on was dreams that he had. Well, we know that is not accurate. You cannot base it on things as such. Again, unless you have a personal relationship with Christ. That is so important. Unless we have a personal relationship with Christ, we will not be able to properly discern God's will. God speaks to you this morning through the counsel of your parents, through other godly Christians. And may you consider that. May you consider the Lord and wait on him. If you are considering courtship with someone who does not have a solid commitment to Christ, don't waste your time. Simply do not. Do not waste your time. Don't think for a moment that you can change someone. I'm sure you've heard these things before. But don't think for a moment that you can change someone by courting them or marrying them. You know, you might be able to reform them a little bit by, you know, with some of your influence, your personality or whatever. But only the new birth will transform someone from the inside out. The important thing is to consider the person's relationship with the Lord, which is something, again, that every person must have for themselves. The child of God also has the Holy Spirit to guide him, and that's help that you simply cannot afford to do without. As you consider courtship, check your life and the life of the one you are considering for evidence of the fruit of the Spirit. You cannot argue with fruit. You simply cannot. When it comes down to it, the fruit of the Spirit in a person's life is really hard to counterfeit. What's coming forth, that fruit that's being born, is really difficult to counterfeit. We're not speaking about perfection. No, we're not. But we're talking about growth. Growth in Christian graces. Another thing we need to understand is the importance of prayer. In the book of Genesis, we have this. To me, it's just a beautiful account of answered prayer in Isaac and Rebekah's courtship. And I didn't really think about this aspect until a little bit more recently. Didn't think about it so much as to how much I believe prayer was involved here, was involved in this. But Abraham had sent his trusted servant Eliezer across the desert to Mesopotamia to look for Isaac's bride. And here now he's returning, and I don't think we'll turn to that. I have some of the verses jotted down here, but in Genesis 24, it gives us that account. And, well, I'll read a couple verses here that I have written down, but Eliezer now is returning. Genesis 24:61 says, "And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man, and the servant took Rebekah and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well, Lahario, and he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming." And I like this verse. It struck me as I thought about Isaac. And verse 63 here, "And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at eventide." I believe that Isaac knew what Eliezer's mission was when Eliezer had left. And I think that he spent a lot of time in serious prayer. Young men, if you think you have it hard in discerning and deciding whom to choose for a wife, can you imagine Isaac's situation? Can you imagine that? His father sends his servant away and simply says, "He's going to bring you a wife." A little bit different than how we do it today. I can imagine Isaac going out every day looking toward Mesopotamia and wondering, "Are the camels coming yet? Well, I see him coming today." And one night, as he goes out to pray, he sees them coming. Can you imagine Rebekah's feelings here? Young ladies, sometimes you think you've got it hard, but read this account. "And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel, for she had said unto the servant, 'What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us?' And the servant had said, 'It is my master.' Therefore she took a veil and covered herself." What did she do? Did she whip out that mirror that she carries with her and hold up and make sure she's all her hair is in the right place and you know, got to look just right for that first meeting? Well, hardly. I doubt that. Too often we focus on physical beauty and miss the importance of that personal relationship with God and the inner beauty that God places a premium on. Then it goes on to say in verses 66 and 67 there in Genesis 24, "And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death." To me, this is such a beautiful picture of prayer and seeking the will of God. Well, we need to move on. I'd like to look at some things now more specifically that I believe are very important. I'm not sure how many I have here, and we'll see if we get through all of them here, but seven or eight, I believe. But I have some very important things, a little more practical things for us to consider and think about when it comes to considering before, some things we need to consider before courting. Number one, I don't know what importance all these should be, but what I have down for number one is loving the church. That is where we lay the groundwork for for courtship. God has instituted and instructed the church to provide direction and protection for your spiritual life. I believe that a person's submission is often tested in two ways. One is in the home, and the other is in the church. I believe that that is where an individual's submission is so often tested. It's a blessing when the home and the church have tested that submission, and it's not up to the young man to find out whether his wife-to-be is going to be submissive or not. I feel sorry for the young man who marries a young lady who he really doesn't know and finds out down the road a ways that, you know what, she has never learned to submit. That doesn't seem to be a part of her life. How does that young man or young lady you're considering view the church? How do they view its standards, its leaders, its members? Do you think it's courtship material when the young man you're considering loves to talk about the ministry and some of the dumb decisions that they've made? Is that good courtship material? What about their smart remarks about the brother or sister they think is just too critical? Is that good courtship material? Those things ought to be warning signs, 10 feet tall. Big warning signs. Those who do not love and respect the apple of God's eye are not candidates for Christian courtship, and much less for marriage. I don't know how to make it much plainer than that. The church is the apple of God's eye. And if someone does not love the church that God loves, it would be a very dangerous thing to do to pursue courtship with that individual. Number two, another thing to consider before courting is develop personal convictions. As you become older, the accountability for your spiritual welfare shifts more to your shoulders. We know that. Your parents are responsible for you when you're young, helping to establish a foundation and all that. But finally, as you grow older and you give your heart to the Lord, and you grow older where you make more of your own decisions, the accountability of your spiritual welfare shifts to your own shoulders. You're not always going to have someone by your side. Dad and mom aren't always going to be there to call the shots for you. And it's a blessing when youth who have reached that age consider the church and their parents in their decisions. That's the way it should be. That's the way God has meant for it to be. But it's also important that you develop personal conviction. Personal convictions. Have you personally established convictions about how you will conduct yourself when you do begin courtship? Or is that left up to your parents or the church to tell you how to do it? Yes, there are guidelines in place. Of course there are. But is that where it's all left up to, where if you wouldn't have that, it would just fall apart? There wouldn't be anything. Personal conviction. Never compromise biblical conviction just so you can have a special friend. Those who are not stable enough to establish and uphold personal convictions are not ready for courtship. Period. They're not. This preparation for courtship is extremely important. How many broken hearts have come to those who began or continued courtship for the sake of trying to help someone? It simply doesn't work out that way. Number three, cultivate a pure heart. A lot could be said about this, but cultivate a pure heart. The passions of the body entering adulthood pose a threat to you young people. They do. I'm here to tell you this morning that the prince of the world is doing all he can to destroy you, to pollute your minds and hearts. He is. And he's doing a good job of it today in the world. You do well to heed the words of Solomon in Proverbs 4:23, where it says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." In Colossians 3, we have a very clear standard for purity. And it's not only talking about young people. Colossians 3, 1 to 6. I'm just going to turn to that. Colossians 3, 1 to 6. "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience." I believe the list of sins here in Colossians covers the courting couple's temptations very well. Fornication is sexual immorality. Uncleanness is any sexual activity outside of holy matrimony, something that God warns strongly against. Inordinate affection is the inner emotion and an excitement that corresponds with fornication and uncleanness. Evil concupiscence is the desire for the forbidden, simply the desire. It's not only the act that God calls evil. That's why we emphasize a hands-off courtship. It helps the courting people to stay, or it helps the courting couple to stay away from this list of sins and maintain Christian principles. It also mentions covetousness, which is idolatry. Let's suppose a young man wants to court a certain girl, but she does not accept his invitation. He wants her so badly that it affects his attitude and his behavior. Or suppose that they are courting and he's so stuck on marrying her that he rushes things more than she and or other concerned Christians are comfortable with. Isn't he coveting her? Since she is not yet his, hasn't she become his idol? We need to understand that God has a plan, and God has his own way of working things out. And I want to say, with these things, these sins that's listed here, again, we have to build that conviction within our own heart if we're going to make it. We cannot simply just say we're avoiding these things, we're not doing these things because my parents say so, because the church says so. It has to be from within our heart. It has to be. The importance of building convictions within my own heart. The Bible says all these things that it mentions here brings the wrath of God upon those who disobey him by doing them. It's not just those who commit fornication, but the very thought of it. Make a commitment to purity long before you face the issue of courtship. Think of Joseph where he said in Genesis 39, I believe, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? That's what was utmost in his mind. How can I sin against God? There are many temptations that can come from a close friendship. So make a commitment to purity and cultivate a pure heart long before you get to this point of courtship. Number four, another thing to consider, appreciate your parents' authority and counsel. You know, your parents don't know everything. No, they don't. But they love you and want what is best for you. And remember, experience has indeed taught them a few things. We all expect we're going to be a lot smarter 20 years from now than we are now. But never forget, that's where Dad and Mom are already. They're already there or past that. Not so long ago, they were right where you are now. And the human nature, you know, has not really changed a whole lot since then. They're facing things, or they have faced things, that you are facing. I believe they have. And they want the best for you. Number five, value the contribution of others. Many young people tend to feel quite capable in making decisions for themselves. We've already talked a little bit about this. But you need the help and guidance of mature Christian friends. Number six, learn how to evaluate character. Choose your friend by evaluating character. Your choice must be based on more than your feelings. Rather than being influenced by outward beauty and charm, look for evidence that a person is living close to the Lord and striving to honor Him. Is he or she attentive during worship services? That's a pretty good indicator. Young ladies, don't consider a young man eligible for courtship if he can't pay attention to a one-hour sermon. If he comes in, find his seat, slumps down as far as he can, and can't wait for church to be over, you really don't have to be embarrassed to tell him no. You really don't. Young men, if you look across the aisle, see a girl that's more interested in sharing the pictures that she carries in her Bible and spends her time distracted with that or looking out the window, don't even consider her. It's not wise. There are many things about an individual that give you a glimpse of his or her character. Does the young man have a sober mind? Observe whether he is sincere or not. Again, we're talking about the fruit. The fruit is evident. What is inside will come out. Are his actions different when older people are nearby, or if he's in the company of his peers? He should be guided by spiritual interests and be subject to spiritual leadership. His life and dress should be consistent with the spirit of the church, disciplined and a good example of the believers. What about the young man's automobile? Does it reflect simplicity? Young ladies, if you are drawn to that young man because he has a nice car or a nice pickup, you know, remember in 20 years, that vehicle will probably be about wore out, and you'll still be stuck with him. What about the young man's occupation? His choice of occupation should be consistent with Christian principles. Beware if there are signs of independence, an independent streak, I guess I would say. Switching to the other side of the house now, young man, the young woman you consider should be noted for her humble dignity, not for the attention-getting patterns and colors of her clothing. She should not make frequent glances toward the boys or act and place herself so she gets the attention of others. those things should probably get our attention, but not in a positive way. Her life should demonstrate cheerful contentment and show appreciation for the practical rather than the extravagant. Does she fit in harmoniously with her family, her home and family life, and be able to mingle well in a variety of individuals? Her quiet example should inspire others to noble goals and pure conduct. Young man, if the lady you are interested in has to have every new dress material that comes on the market, you better get ready, because Dad and Mom are going to quit paying for it when she says I do. If you're drawn to the girl across the aisle because you think she's got nice hair or blonde hair, nice dark hair or blonde hair or pretty eyes, I warn you, she might keep the pretty eyes, but I can't guarantee you about the hair. It's going to change color down the road, more than likely. But focus on the character. It's only going to get better. I can assure you that. It only gets better. I certainly have found it to be that way. As you live longer and closer with the Lord, your character will only become more beautiful. That's how it works. If you focus only on outward beauty, the likelihood is that you will be disappointed. Number 7, maintain sobriety and dignity. Young man, as you pray as to whom God would have you choose for a special friend, you may find your attention being drawn repeatedly toward one particular young woman, and this certainly could be God directing you. This is a time that calls for carefulness. It calls for careful searching of our heart, searching of God's will. And you know, it's foolish to make public the issues of your heart. It really is. It is foolish to make that public. Doing that, I believe, indicates that you are not willing to wait on the Lord's timing. It shows a lack of maturity when a young man has a reputation of chasing a girl. When you give attention to a girl, be careful and be sober about it. Now, young women, if you get the impression that a young man is giving you special attention, you need to ask God's help even more earnestly to keep your place. Sometimes young women have been mistaken in their impressions and have suffered much grief. Girls tend to do this very easily. Just because a young man smiles at you or shows you some common courtesy does not mean that he is considering you for courtship. Allow them to be men without reading something into it. On the other hand, young men, be careful. Be careful that you don't lead a girl on by singling her out continually with special attention if there is nothing to it. Reserve that special attention for after you have agreed to start a special friendship. Well, I could talk more about that, but moving to the last point, the young man should initiate courtship. The young man should initiate the courtship. That is simply headship order. And again, young men, consult your parents. And I believe there is a lot of wisdom in asking advice from someone who really knows the young lady's character. And that's where maybe your parents can come into this a little bit, enter into this a little bit more in helping you do that, finding ways to do that. Pray about it. Ask advice. Give the young lady time. Don't just drop her a note and say, I'm coming to see you next Sunday. No, be respectful. She may not have considered, even thought, that this maybe is coming. So be respectful and understanding. Young ladies, if a young man asks you for your friendship, it's up to you to pray, to seek the Lord's will, and ask counsel of your parents and others. You do well to do that. If you're undecided or feel it's not the Lord's will to accept his invitation, you don't have to be ashamed to tell him. However, it's very important to be respectful. Through all of this, be respectful. You young ladies probably don't know what young men go through in getting to the point where they finally ask you to begin a courtship. If you wrote a letter, it probably took quite a bit of letter or quite a bit of paper to write that first letter. Good chance. Or if he approached her in person, it took a lot of sweating and nervousness to get it accomplished. Maybe you don't face it how I did. I don't know. Maybe you won't. But that's how it was for me. He does not just dash off a letter and then forget about it. Don't forget that. It's something he probably has prayed about long and hard. Don't just say no and walk away. That would be terribly disrespectful. In my generation, a plan to begin courtship was a secret thing. And I don't know. Maybe, perhaps it was overdone that way. I'm not sure. But I don't really think so. But it seems to me that somehow it cheapens it when the young man or young woman needs to spend a lot of time on the phone to make sure that they tell all their best friends that they're going to start a friendship. I don't know. Maybe that's just me, but it seems like it cheapens the seriousness of it. Well, let's remember that there is a proper way to do it, one that is God-honoring and glorifying. And I think we're going to stop with that. I trust that you young people will rise to the challenge before you. As we have learned from those before us, you too will learn from the spiritual men and women of our generation and establish strong homes and families. I'm convinced of that. That's God's desire for you. That's what God wants. Young people, there's so much at stake in courtship. Though it is an exciting time, remember it's also a very serious time. Your life, how is that? Your life lies before you like a path of driven snow. Be careful how you tread it, for every step will show. Lord bless you. Let's kneel for prayer.